morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. So good to see all of you here, and so hopeful that everything, you know, is just like you want it to be this morning. Our opening scripture is Psalm 126, which is subtitled, A Joyful Return to Zion. And it reads, When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come home again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Dean. Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. It's just good to be on this earth one more time. Amen. But I got some news for you this morning. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Are you looking for him? I hope so. I hope so. You don't want to miss him. Would you please stand with me this morning?
Today is actually the last day to order the Easter lilies, so if you still want those, get it in today. Saturday, April 26th, we've got a flea market at the sanctuary front yard. Anybody want to see anything more? Okay, we've got a flea market April 26th in the sanctuary front yard. And don't forget that on the third Saturday of each month, they have that Meet the Neighbors Walk.
Easter is two Sundays away. There are not very many children that have been coming to Kids Club, but we are having an Easter egg hunt after service. And I know some people come to church twice a year. Family gathers around you, holidays. So maybe you have kids coming to your holiday dinner or whatever for Easter, like your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews. If they're going to be here for the Easter egg hunt, let me know they're going to be. In the reservation and their ages, which is most important, so they have appropriate things for them. Okay? So just let me know and invite them. It's a good time.
I just want to announce we have the sign up sheets out front on the table, and we'd like for you to sign up if you want to bring something for the sunrise breakfast. And also we need some helpers in the kitchen, volunteers to help in the kitchen to clean up after breakfast. So the sheets are outside. They're out there on the table, so we want you to sign up for it. Thank you.
Would you stand for our opening hymn, Blessed Assurance? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect divine. Visions of rapture happen from my side. Angels descending, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my glory, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
Please join me in the prayer of blessing for our offering. And Lord God, we ask that You make every opportunity,
yes,
for
Lord,
us to do as You would have us do. But we ask also, Lord, that You take the offering that we bring and make it be sufficient, whatever use You have of it. Lord, we ask that You be with us this day and forever, and watch over us in everything that we do, making it be perfect in Your sight.
Thank you.
Today's reading is Luke, the 14th chapter, the 25th to the 33rd verse, the cost of being a disciple. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus and turned to them and said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father or mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you want to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Well, if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone sees it will will ridicule you, saying this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will act with the terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
thank you for gathering us here today to hear the messages that you have sent, that we may take the news back to our communities. Teach your word there. Lord, be with each of us as we listen for the message that we need to know. And we ask, Lord, that you be with Heather and Ted and help them to be able to give us just the message you want us to. Lord, we ask that you be with each of us. Keep us always in your care and help us to discharge the responsibilities that you give us. In your holy name we pray.
Good morning. How are y'all today? Great. Today we're talking about the cost of being a disciple. A disciple, that's a good question. What is a disciple? Do you know what a disciple is? Oh, you asked the question, now you know the answer. All right, let's see. That's cost. A disciple is a person that follows Jesus. We're all disciples. Did you know that? Yeah, that's what disciple means. That was a good question. And I was going to say, what does the word cost mean? But we already discussed this. It's something, how we have to pay for something or how much something is, right? A Lamborghini does cost a lot of money, you're right. But let's talk about some mac and cheese. Let's play a game, because I didn't bring a Lamborghini, because I don't have one. But I did bring some mac and cheese. Y'all like mac and cheese? No. Do you like mac and cheese? No answer? Okay, well, I like mac and cheese. And this is my favorite, the box mac and cheese. But let's talk about, how much do you think this costs? Do y'all have money?
Yes.
You do have money. Okay, so if you went, where would you go get this? At the grocery store?
Yes.
At Walmart. And how much do you think this would cost? $10 or $12 because of the box. Do you have a guess? How much do you think this is in dollars? Do you have a guess? No? $8. Do you? Well, I shop at HEB a lot, and I looked it up. Did you know this would cost $1.29? It's a little less than $4. This is $1.29, okay? So that's how much money you'd have to pay for this. And one more. Peanut butter. Do y'all like peanut butter?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. At least I got one of the two. Peanut butter. Do y'all like peanut butter? Yes? So how much do you think this would cost? Okay, this is $1.29. I would guess a little bit more, right? Do you have a guess? $3 or $2? Okay. Well, HEB says that this was $3.52. Okay. All right. So now that we talked about what money was and that how much these things cost, today we're discussing how much it costs to be a disciple of God or Jesus. And how much do you think that costs? It does cost a lot, right? It doesn't cost a lot per se, but he did say in the Bible that we need to give him everything, that everything, we should give our all and everything to him. But does it cost money? It does? How much do you pay? You used to pay, and now you don't pay anymore? It doesn't cost us anything. We don't have to pay anything to be a disciple, do we? Not money-wise, but we need to give him our all, and we need to appreciate everything that he's given us, and we need to make sure to say thank you, right? All right, so let's go this week, and let's make sure that we say thank you always to everyone, and let's make sure that we remember that we need to go out and get other disciples of God, right? All right, let's say a prayer. God, it is easy to say that we want to follow Jesus, but it isn't always easy to do. Help us follow him whatever the cost. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, guys.
Good morning. It's good to be able to come before you again with God's word this morning. We trust that you have open ears, open hearts, open minds, and ready to listen and learn and obey what the Lord has for us today. Our title this morning is Sacrifice. Sacrifice. This is week five of our From the Ashes series. We're almost finished. This is a 6-week series, so we have one more week. Sacrifice. You know, the Hebrew people experienced temporary forgiveness of sins by the blood of an animal sacrifice. They sacrificed animals long ago. But the sacrifice of Jesus, the fact that he had to leave heaven and he offered himself on the cross, this was the atoning sacrifice that lasts throughout eternity. And through Christ, you can be assured that you are completely redeemed from the ashes of our former life. In fact, you cannot rise from the ashes if it hadn't have been for our Lord's sacrifice. So, we're going to talk about the sacrifice of Jesus today. And we're going to talk about the impact that it has on all of humankind. But to illustrate this, I want to share a story with you that I looked up and found. And this story comes from the trenches of World War II. This story is about a soldier, John Robert Fox. He was born in Cincinnati, Ohio in 1915 of May. By all accounts, this was a smart, diligent young man, and he went to school at a college called Wilberforce University, and he signed up for ROTC, and he ended up graduating with a graduate degree and also a commission as a second lieutenant in the United States Army. And when war broke out, he took him and his commission, and he joined the 92nd Infantry Division. Now, this division was special because it was a segregated division only for African-American soldiers that fought with distinction throughout the conflict. But when this unit was sent to Europe in 1944, he found himself fighting the enemy in a little town called Summer Colonia, Italy. And this village had been overrun by the enemy, and the Americans, they were in full retreat. And Fox, he found a house, he hid in it, and he got up on the second floor, and he used his radio to contact all his colleagues, and he called for artillery fire to be directed at the village in order to give the soldier the time to retreat. What he was doing was calling the artillery fire on his own position so he could take care of the enemy and give his folks time to retreat. And at the fire control headquarters, they thought he was crazy. He said, "Man, you're bringing this fire right on top of yourself." But he knew that, and he told them this. He says, "There's more of them than there are of us." And for this sacrifice, when they entered this village, they found his body surrounded by nearly 100 of the enemy. His sacrifice was not in vain. He allowed the soldiers to come in and to regroup and to start a counterattack. This sacrifice of John Robert Fox, he gave his life gave life, he gave them opportunity and a victory to his fellow soldiers in a decisive battle with the enemy. And he was awarded the Medal of Honor for this posthumously in 1997. So, but the sacrifice of Christ, it also gives us life. It gives us opportunity and it gives us victory to all who would believe. And the sacrifice of Christ is so complete that there is no need for any other work to be done. Now, there's a lot we can learn from our Lord in this area. So let's get started and let's get down to it. You see, now we've already talked about humility in week two, so I'm not going to go over that again. But I do want to take a moment to recognize that where there is sacrifice, there is also humility. And that's important. You see, Christ gave up his life to come to earth as a sacrifice for our sins. And he didn't hold on to his position of power. He didn't do that. He laid it all down to become a humble servant. Because he knew that in order to rescue the world from the curse of sin, which he did, it was going to cost him his life. And he knew that. Now, if we are going to follow in the footsteps of our Lord, which we should, and I hope that that is our cause and our life meaning, what that's going to happen is that you're going to have to experience some sacrifice. And our Lord, he pulls no punches about what he requires of us. You see, he if you listen to his words in Luke 14 that we've already you've already heard, you'll see that he doesn't want you to get into anything without you knowing what the cost is. And yes, my friends, there is a cost for following in Christ. You see, but the thing of it is, you're gonna always have him with you, and he's gonna be with you. But I want you to note something here. In verse 25, it says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciples." Now, previously, the Lord had been preaching, and he had gathered a whole lot of people. Folks were coming all around him because, hey, there's this guy out here. He's doing miracles, and he's saying all kind of great things. Let's go see what he's doing. So they all started to follow him, but Jesus drew them to him, but he wanted to weed them out as well. And he tells them the cost of being a disciple. You see, there, if anything is worth anything, dear one, there's going to be a cost for it. There's going to always be a cost that you're going to have to pay. He says large crowds were now traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters," what? You mean I got to hate my folks? You know? I can't love my mother and my father? What he's trying to tell you folks is this. You've got to love him more than you love your mother, your father, your brother, and your sister. No, you don't. You do not hate him, but you have to love him more than your father and your mother. That's what he's trying. And what he is doing here, he's weeding out the curiosity seekers. Those that there are just looking for something, you know, something different. And he's telling them that there is a cost to following him. You must sacrifice all that you have to follow him. Now think about this for a minute, dear one. Here is one who left the confines of a heavenly home. He came down to earth to sacrifice for your sins. And what he expects us to do is to follow him and to give him first choice in everything that we do. Now, this is a very difficult pact. And Jesus' challenge is to give up those things. You see, And another way to say this is this. You have to be willing to let go of everything as you follow Christ. You see, if Christ sacrificed himself to bring redemption, then you're going to need to do this same as you share redemption with others. Now, I can almost guarantee that you've heard this verse from Galatians before, because it describes our position with Christ and our engagement with the world around us. It says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, discipleship and sacrifice can be very difficult. Yes, you have to be willing to let go of everything once you believe, everything you once believed to be so important. And yes, there will be those who will oppose you. You will not, I guarantee you, you're not going to be able to serve the Lord without and sacrifice with any without some type of problem. But the good news is this, God will always be with you. And see, he lives in you, empowering us to live the very life of faith. So as hard as it is to let go of things and make sacrifices, don't forget that he's with you and he is our perfect high priest. But we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is Hebrews 4, verses 15 through 16. Sacrifice takes courage, conviction, and confidence, but it's worth it. So, here's the encouragement today. Throw off the past sin and shame that so easily entangles us, and run that race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You see, our Lord sacrificed his life for the joy that was set before him. And let me tell you, folks, there is a very real, deep, abiding joy in serving others and sacrificing your life for someone else. I want you to think about the last time that you did some service to others. You sacrificed your time and your energy and your money to make someone else have a good day. You sacrificed what you could have done to help someone else become better or eat or whatever. And you know what? That felt amazing. It feels good when you know that you've done something good for the Lord, and when you serve others, you are serving Jesus as well. You see, when we can trade our selfish desire and want for a life of discipleship, serving others, the sacrifices will have meaning and purpose. You see, without the sacrifice of Christ, there is no redemption. And without the sacrifice of the saints, those who went on before us, those here at this church, there would be no Alamo. Sacrifice is powerful. It can change the outcome of a battle, and it can change someone's life who needs help. And I can redeem someone's eternity. Think about it. It can even redeem someone's eternity. Now think about that. Let that sink in for a minute, what the Lord has surely done for us. No matter how hard life has been, no matter how far from God you may feel here today, no matter how irredeemable you believe your life to be, the sacrifice of Christ was completely sufficient. And you know what, dear one? Today's a good day. Good day to rise above the sin and shame and accept the gift that God has given you through his Son. I want to take a moment just to think about the coming Sundays. Next Sunday, I believe, is Palm Sunday. And on Palm Sunday, we'll read a wonderful passage about how our Lord came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And we'll read that verse where he comes in praising God in a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. And they said, "Blessed is he, the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." But as the Lord is riding into town on that donkey, he also takes a view. Jerusalem comes to him and the view for him. And he sees it. The Lord weeps over the city. He says this: "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden before your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God coming to you." Soon it will be Easter, Resurrection Day. And there have been many contemporaries of Christ, many folks in his day, many well-educated and faithful people who didn't recognize he was in fact the Messiah. You see, for them, the sacrifice was nothing more than just the loss of a human life. But for those of us who believe, it's the promise of eternal life. So, how will the sacrifice of Christ change you, change your life? What are some of the things you need to let go of in order to give your life, your time, and your money so that others may experience the life and redemption of the gospel? What areas of life are you being called to a greater sacrifice? I trust that you will take a look at your life and see what are some of the things that you might need to change. And remember this, dear one. As we go through our Holy Week, remember it's not just about a particular week. For a believer, it's every day. Every day we remember the sacrifice that our Lord made for us. And in remembering that, this ought to encourage us to go forward and be the best disciple that we can be. And a good disciple, the best disciple, is one who will go out, who will learn. He will put those things that the Master taught him into action, and he will make other disciples. This is our Lord's will. And I thank you so much. I thank him that we're able to do this today. And I pray that he will enable Alamo, to be a light in this community. I know that's what he wants us to do. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful sacrifice. In the name of the Father and the Son. In order to sacrifice life, you're going to have to give up some of your
tears forever flow. All were sin.
Bulletin at this time. I want you to get your bulletin out. Don't have one, get you one. Look at your bulletin.
Well, keep them in your prayers this week until otherwise. May God be with each of us this day.
Would you stand for our closing hymn? Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing.